This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Panthers are headed to the Stanley Cup Final against the Edmonton Oilers. It was a long road to get there.
And Trocheck's on a breakaway. Down to her left, a shot. Save made by Bobrovsky. Back up front, a chance of Bobrovsky. The save on the follow-up as Fox was cruising in.
On to her down low, bar coming from Reinhardt, a shot.
And he scores! The overtime winner here in Game 4. And this series is tied. The Panthers take Game 6 over the Rangers. 2-1 the final. The Panthers are moving on.
Four big bites out of the apple, and it is finished.
It all starts this Saturday. Time to preview the series on the home of the Panthers on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Panthers Stanley Cup Final Preview Show is fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks.
Back in hour number two here on the Florida Panthers Stanley Cup Final Preview Show, exclusively right here on 560 WQAM and the free Odyssey app. If you missed hour number one, that'll be available for you online pretty soon, I'm told. Doug Plagans with you, Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And of course, the Panthers and the Oilers set to begin the Stanley Cup Final coming up on Saturday night at 8 p.m. Saturday at 8 p.m., that's game one. And then Monday at 8 p.m., that's game two. Both of those in Sunrise before the series shifts to Edmonton for game three a week from tonight. The whole series starts at 8 p.m. Eastern. We'll be on the air with network pregame shows beginning at 7:30 ahead of puck drop each night of the series. So you can follow along on the Panthers Radio Network right here on 560 WQAM. Of course, we'll have you covered every step of the way. All the pregame coverage right here, all the postgame right here, the free Odyssey app, WQAM.com. You can tune in and on the Panthers app as well. So that's what's coming up as far as the Stanley Cup Final is concerned. Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final for the second consecutive year. And you want to get your season tickets for next season, folks. Following a sellout of lower bowl and club level seating this season, your Cats have limited availability. Become part of the territory. Don't wait. Secure your seats today. FloridaPanthers.com or 954-835-PUCK. That is where to go. And I want to take a moment to say thanks to each and every one of you who've come out to support this team this season at Amerant Bank Arena, whether it be regular season, playoffs, both. We thank you very much for being out at the arena all season long and through the playoffs. 19,000, pushing 20,000, seems like every single night. And that's not just here on this playoff run, but that's going back into the regular season as well. An Atlantic Division Championship regular season for the Panthers. So thanks for supporting the team in any way that you do and for listening to the broadcast, of course, all season long. And if you're one of the folks who tunes into the post game on your way home from Amerant Bank Arena, we thank you very much for doing that. Any way you support the Panthers, it means the world to us and then some. So again, thanks so much again for being along all season. Let's get into more previewing of the upcoming Stanley Cup Final. We heard from Nico Mikkola last segment. Thanks to him for his time. Before that, Tim Reynolds from the Associated Press, who you can find on the platform formerly known as Twitter, at @ByTimReynolds. One of the great guests. Always has his finger on the pulse of everything. Great to catch up with Tim there. But I was able to have a good conversation with Evan Rodriguez of the Panthers yesterday after the Panthers practiced out at the Baptist Health Iceplex at the FTL War Memorial. And Evan Rodriguez, like Nico Mikkola, who we heard from last segment, just finished up his first regular season as a Panther. He's in his first playoff run as a Panther, and he's set to play in his first Stanley Cup final. So as we get into the conversation, first thing I asked Evan Rodriguez about was the anticipation. Is it growing? And at this point, how does it feel as we approach the Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I think it's exciting. You know, you're trying to get, you know, all your ducks in order, all your ducks in a row, trying to get everything settled. So when that puck drop comes for game one, you know, you're dialed in, and, you know, you always dream of being in situations like this. And now it's just about going and making it happen.
Does it feel different going to a cup final for the first time? Does it feel different experiencing everything that's going on around it with you guys being the only game going? A lot of attention, obviously, going to this. Does it feel that way?
Yeah, 100%. I think everything's under a microscope. No matter what you say or do, it's going to get criticized or critiqued, I guess. And so it's definitely a little different. You know, you go through the playoffs and you take it game by game and round by round, and you know, you hope and you think you're going to get here, but until you do actually, you know, punch that ticket and feel the excitement of the finals, you know, there's nothing like it. And really looking forward to that puck drop.
Now, as the playoffs go on, you always hear, you go from the exhibition season to the regular season, you go from the regular season to the playoffs. As the playoffs get further along, does it feel like, can you feel that intensity, the tempo, the speed, the physicality, whatever it is, can you feel all that getting ratcheted up round by round?
Yes and no. I think, you know, that round one, game one is usually really intense, first game of the playoffs. And then you kind of, you get into playoff mode where you just, it's game by game, and you always want that next one, you know, next game mentality. And then you're just kind of in playoff mode. And then, you know, until the end of game six in the last series, that's when it was kind of like, we're in the Stanley Cup finals now. And I think everything is now like stepped up you know, raised the level per se. And I think, you know, the feeling you had of round one, game one is probably going to be the same emotions you're going to get in this in the finals and game one.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be really ramped up come game one. I want to ask you about a few things just about your game in general. And you're a guy, you're a really versatile player, and you've shown that this season. You played with a lot of different guys in this Panthers lineup. Right now playing with Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, we'll talk about that in a minute. But your versatility, is that something you've always prided yourself on? Because you're a guy that can play the wing, you can play the middle, you can take draws. Like I said, you've had success with a lot of different teammates this year, and we've heard multiple guys on your team have specifically said they like playing with you. How much does that mean, and how much do you pride yourself on that versatility?
Yeah, it means a lot. It's, you know, when you get compliments from your peers, it's, you know, I guess the biggest compliment you can get. And it is something that I've always prided myself on. It's something that, you know, I've always, two things are my smarts and my work ethic. And that's something that I've taken through my whole career. I think it's one of the reasons why I'm in the NHL, and it's something that I've always focused on. So, you know, started playing with Barkov and Reinhardt, and, you know, you want to be F1, you want to get on the forecheck, get the puck, give it to those guys. You play with Lundy and Lucy, both smart players. You know, you want tight support. You want to, you know, talk a lot with those guys. And then now with Chucky and Benny, you know, it's being responsible, letting those guys, you know, almost letting them loose and you know, making sure you're the high F3, because, you know, when those two get on the forecheck, no D wants to see that. So, yeah, I pride myself on being able to play with everybody and molding my game to, you know, the way it'll make us successful, I guess, as a line. And yeah, I think, you know, I've done a really good job of that this year.
And you mentioned the mindset you have to take into it when you're playing with Matthew Tkachuk and Sam Bennett. Obviously, I'd imagine more fun being teammates with those guys than being on the opposing side against those guys. But can you speak to what those two mean specifically as far as the DNA of this hockey team? Because this team prides itself on playing that hard, in-your-face, forechecking style. And as you said, those are two guys that opposing defense don't want to have to deal with.
Yeah, and I think there's two things. One, you know, they almost drag you into the fight. If you're not, you know, maybe not in the playoffs, you're usually ready to go, especially, but in the regular season, you know, if there's a, you know, game you might not be feeling your best, they'll go out and run somebody, then the game ratches up and physicality picks up, and then you're like, oh, okay, I guess we're doing this, and you got to get into it. So, you know, they drag you into the fight, and then, I think just their style of play, it gets you going. You know, I think it picks up everyone's intensity. They're heart and soul guys. They're extremely fun to play with. You know, you have a lot of free space out there, especially when they're getting on the body. And just been a lot of fun.
Now, a couple things on top of that, in addition to, you know, playing with those two players, this group as a whole, can you describe the bond that you've seen just continue to solidify as the year's gone on? Because when you came in, this was already a pretty tight-knit dressing room, and you always hear when new guys come in, incredibly welcoming group, and you'd mentioned that to us right out of the gate here this season. But as the season's gone on and you've gotten deeper into the year and the games have gotten more important and more magnified, how much have you felt that bond continue to build? Because it seems like you guys do have a group that genuinely enjoys being around each other, and it seems like that directly lends itself to on-ice success.
Yeah, it's kind of like having, you know, brothers. You know, I grew up with two older brothers, and they're the ones that support you and push you the most. They're also the ones that trip you the most. And I think that's what we have. We love being with each other, love getting on each other. You know, even our practices, like the amount of guys that get chirped every time you make a mistake, like you're hearing it from somebody. It's a fun environment to be in. And but then on the same token, we get in the game and everyone's pulling on the same rope. Everyone's, you know, urging the guy beside him to make the next play. You know, everyone wants to be the difference maker. And it's like having, you know, 25 brothers out there. And it really makes coming to the rink. Again, like I said earlier, when you're not feeling good or there's a practice day where, you know, you wish you could just stay home, you come to the rink and you're like, you're in a good mood and you're like, all right, I can do this. And it's been awesome.
You talk about coming to the rink in a good mood, diving right into the electricity we expect to see for game one at Amerant Bank Arena. You guys have had great crowds, great atmospheres all season long, right into the playoffs. How much are you looking forward to that part, and how much will you allow yourself, maybe even if it's just a split second before the puck drops, to take it in, to feel what that electricity is going to be like for game one of the Cup Final?
Yeah, you know, it's something I always try to do. I always try to, you know, look around the rink and just, you know, smile. Just it's almost unbelievable the, you know, situation you're in. The, you know, crowd is incredible. Fans have been incredible. It's loud. You're playing in the Stanley Cup Finals, and you take, you know, a second or two, you know, pre or post anthem to just look around and really appreciate what, you know, you've been given, and puts a smile on your face. And for me, it gets me even more into the game, gets me amped up, gets me, you know, a little bit loose, not nervous, and you just go out and play. And the, you know, our crowd's been great all playoffs long, and looking forward to hearing what they can bring in game one.
A couple more before we let you go on. I know you're a busy man. Stanley Cup Final starting up here on Saturday night. A lot's been made of the travel distance between the two teams. It's the longest distance separating two Stanley Cup finalists in history. So you guys are used to, other than when you go to Tampa, you're used to, you know, at least a couple hours every time you get on the plane. Same can be said for Edmonton. Paul Maurice pointed out, they've got the Flames in their province, but beyond that, there's going to be some mileage logged every time they get on that plane. As far as the travel distance, does that take a toll, or are you able to just kind of use that time to relax a little bit?
A little bit of both, I think. I think both teams are going to be doing it, so there's no real advantage or disadvantage. There's no excuses, especially. And I think, you know, we like being with each other. So, like, you'll have card games going. You'll have guys watching movies. You can relax, catch up on sleep. There's going to be stuff to do, and there'll be games to be played. And, I think, you know, just a key is probably not sitting for the whole 6 hours. But other than that, I mean, we have so many recovery modalities now that, you know, you can do Normatex on the plane. We're going to be fine. At the end of the day, we're going to be fine. And it is a long flight, but it's not going to, you're not going to hear any excuses from, I don't think, either side.
Well, you guys are experienced in keeping yourselves occupied on a long flight. But when you get on the ice in this series, I know you're going to be asked this a lot, and with Media Day coming up and everything like that, obviously the two teams that are there, They're the two teams that are there for a reason. They've got elite players on the other side. Everybody knows 97-29, McDavid, Dreisaitl. Over the course of a series, everybody is going to be on the ice against those guys in some capacity. How do you shut down two guys like that? How do you key on two guys like that? And just in terms of the matchup overall, what stands out for you?
I think the biggest thing for us is playing our game. I think first and foremost, you know, we have to continue to do what's made us successful all year. When you look at, you know, guys like McDavid and Dreisaitl, we play everybody hard. They're not going to be any different. I think you have to know where they are on the ice more than maybe anyone else. You got to really, you know, they can be gone in a split second. So, you know, just making sure you know where they are is going to be key. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, we play them just as hard as we play anybody on the ice, and maybe just give them a little extra attention.
Kevin Rodriguez of the Panthers right there finished off the conversation with what's been one of the common themes here, talking about how the Panthers plan to defend against Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, two of the best players in the world, plain and simple, no question about it. And as Tim Reynolds said first segment, you can't stop Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. They're going to get their opportunities. But the way this Panthers team has played, the way they've defended, the way Sergei Bobrovsky has played, again, you feel pretty good going into this series as far as the Panthers' overall defensive game plan. And you look at the way it's gone from the playoffs so far. In the first series of the playoffs, Nikita Kucherov, he didn't score against the Panthers in that series, albeit the Panthers wrapped up the series in five games. Kucherov did have some points. Steven Stamkos was able to break through early on in the playoffs against the Panthers, but it wasn't enough for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Again, the Panthers took care of the Lightning in five games, so Kucherov didn't score in that series. In the second round series against Boston, David Pastrnak, one of the elite goal scorers in the National Hockey League, he didn't score an even strength goal against the Panthers. In the conference final series, remember, Artemi Panarin didn't score in that series until there were under 2 minutes left in game six, the game when the Panthers clinched and moved on to the cup final. Mika Zibanejad didn't score in that series. Chris Kreider, who's been a 50-goal scorer in this league before, he only scored once in that series. So the Panthers have shut down some elite offensive weapons on this playoff run to this point. Again, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, different beast. But at the same time, they're elite players, and the Panthers have had a lot of success shutting down elite offensive players in these playoffs, and the Panthers have some elite offensive players of their own. You look at the matchup against McDavid and Draisaitl, no doubt about that one. Everybody is going to be matched up. You heard Anton Lundell back in hour number one. Everybody's going to have to play against those guys at some point in some capacity. Everybody's going to be ready for it. Everybody's going to know when those two players specifically are on the ice. You can't miss them, for one. You can't miss them. But as far as the Panthers go, Alexander Barkov, Gus Forsling, no doubt those are going to be a couple of the guys front and center when it comes to trying to shut down the Edmonton attack. And we're going to get more into the numbers coming up later on in the hour. Of course, next segment, we're going to revisit an episode of the Territory Talk podcast from this week. Kyle Bukauskas from Sportsnet was kind enough to stop by, but we're going to break down some of the numbers in the series coming up later on in this hour. These two teams evenly matched for a number of reasons. Edmonton, a lot of folks still look at the Oilers as that high octane, you know, one-dimensional offensive team. Not the case. They're defending really well. Paul Maurice talked about it. Their defensive structure and game plan is almost as good as what the Panthers are bringing to the table, and the Panthers are as good as it gets at that part of the game. So these are two really well-rounded teams. Two teams that can score, two teams that can defend, two teams that are getting good goaltending. If it comes down to one big save, I'm taking Sergei Bobrovsky over Stuart Skinner every single time. But Stuart Skinner has been good enough to help his team get to the Stanley Cup final, no doubt about that. He was pulled for a couple of games, got the reset, got back in. Skinner and Bobrovsky were tied for third in the National Hockey League in victories this season, each picking up 36. But Sergei Bobrovsky certainly has the track record. He's rolling. He's been in a run of 10 of the last 11 in which he's allowed two or fewer. So you certainly like the game that he's bringing into this Stanley Cup final. We'll talk about some of those numbers coming up later on. Next segment, we will look at things a bit from the Oilers' perspective. Kyle Bukauskas of Sportsnet, north of the border, he was on the ice covering the festivities as the Oilers punched a ticket to the Stanley Cup final and knocked off the Dallas Stars in six games. He was out there on the ice for the raucous atmosphere in Edmonton as the Panthers moved on, or as the Oilers moved on to face the Panthers in the Stanley Cup final. So we'll revisit that conversation from the Territory Talk podcast next. Kyle Bukauskas sat down with Jameson Olive and I just a couple of days back. That's going to be coming up straight ahead later on in the hour. We'll look into some of the numbers. We've got some sound from Paul Maurice as well. A jam-packed rest of the program with you until 8 o'clock, previewing the upcoming Stanley Cup final. Doug Plagans with you, Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And big thanks to Evan Rodriguez for his time. Great conversation there. And if you missed any of it, it's all going to be available online afterwards. So don't fret, folks. We are going to step aside. We'll be back with more coming up straight ahead. This is the Stanley Cup Final Preview right here on AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
The Stanley Cup Final Preview Show, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, continues on the home of the Panthers on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Back here on 560 WQAM, talking Stanley Cup Final with you, talking Florida Panthers with you. Panthers-Oilers Game 1 coming up on Saturday at Amerant Bank Arena in Sunrise. And, of course, we'll be on the air with the network pregame 7:30 leading up to the puck drop, which is listed as 8 o'clock. But, you know, it'll be a few minutes after 8 o'clock. If you're going to the game, you want to get in there early. Take it all in, folks. We talked about it with Evan Rodriguez last segment, and he said he's going to take a minute. Of course, he always does to take it all in. It's going to be a festive atmosphere. It's going to be a great atmosphere. And just like every atmosphere we've seen during the playoffs, it's going to be electric when things get going. Coming up on Saturday night, Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. Panthers in the Stanley Cup Final for the second consecutive season. Doug Plagans with you, Danny Garcia. On the other side of the glass, we've talked a lot of Panthers. We've heard from some of the Panthers coming up or over the course of the show so far. Coming up here, though, want to get to a conversation we had on a recent episode of the Territory Talk podcast, which, by the way, Jameson Olive and I have, I shouldn't say weekly, we've been churning out multiple per week lately, previewing the Stanley Cup Final, going back through the playoffs. And just a couple of days back, Kyle Bukauskas, reporter from Sportsnet, does great work north of the border, NHL coverage on Sportsnet. He was kind enough to stop by and actually referred to Kyle sometimes when I see him as the honorary Floridian, because he's covered so many playoff series that involve whether it be the Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning over the last few years. We've seen a lot of Kyle. Great guy, does great work. He joined us on the Territory Talk podcast just a couple of days ago, and he was actually on the ice covering the action for Sportsnet when the Oilers punched their ticket to the Stanley Cup Final, knocked off the Dallas Stars in their Western Conference Final Series. So getting into the start of the conversation, first thing I asked Kyle was, how did the Oilers do it, and what are they bringing into this Stanley Cup Final?
Going in, I really felt that the Dallas was one of the deepest teams, maybe the deepest of the four that were remaining there in the two conference finals. But what the Oilers showed everyone kind of over the course of that six games is really, you know, how far they've come defensively, the contributions they got elsewhere in their lineup at some critical moments, maybe not always on the scoreboard, but the fact, guys, that they didn't give up a goal while on the penalty kill the entire series. And I think it's 28 straight now that they've killed off. That was really impressive. And, you know, let's face it, Stuart Skinner outdueled Jake Oettinger over the course of that series as well, which, you know, maybe not a lot of people would have predicted going in, but he was absolutely solid. And what a great story he's become after losing the net for a couple games in the Vancouver series. It was just it was one of the cooler moments I've got to witness in my career. I mean, you know, since I've started doing this, Montreal was the only other Canadian team that went all the way to the final. And even that was a little bit muted because we were still dealing with limited capacity in the crowd. And it just wasn't quite the same, of course, of what we're back to here now. So that building was so loud. And it's so, like, certainly in Canada, like there's just like always that feeling of existential dread in the big moments, you know, quietly often because it's been since 93, since the Canadian team has won the cup. But the crowd there in Rogers Place on Sunday night, you know, I got maybe a little nervous there for a bit when it became 2-1. But other than that, like they were on their feet the last 4 minutes of the third, and it was like they were doing all they could to help will their team over the finish line. And it just kept getting louder and louder with every clear that they got or block shot. Or broke up pass. It was just a really special scene to kind of soak in there. And so, you know, it's about time that you know, someone like Connor McDavid got a chance to play in a Stanley Cup final. And I think it's great for the game and just sets up a really cool matchup here against the Panthers.
And Kyle, when you talk about the matchup, what maybe excites you most about the matchup? Obviously, like you said, Edmonton's got McDavid, they've got Dreisaitl, Bouchard's having a playoff for the ages, but the Panthers, you know, Barkov, Tkachuk, Reinhart, the list goes on and on and on. How do you kind of see this shaking out on the ice with so much talent on both sides?
Yeah, so I mean, the fact that you got the first four picks from the 2014 draft all in one series here is really unique and special, of course. And of course, they've all become, you know, really great players in the, well, 10 years now since. That's a neat wrinkle. I just love, yeah, you say, you know, the firepower, both teams, you know, appear really deep. You know, as you guys know, like as great of a run it was for Florida last year, it just seemed they ran out of gas, ran out of healthy bodies by the time they finally got to Vegas. And, you know, that series was over in five games. It feels like a different story here now. I'm sure everyone's, of course, dealing with something here, but, you know, having, you know, the time here to kind of rest up before game one on Saturday, I'm sure benefits both sides. And I just love the fact that, you know, I think, the game, the series against Dallas, like, I mean, it was fast. It was tight checking. There was a really good pace to it. But there wasn't the typical nastiness of a playoff series that you would see. I mean, Dallas was very disciplined. They played between the whistles. There wasn't much scrum and stuff going on afterwards. But as you, I would imagine that the Panthers are going to pull that a little bit out of Edmonton. And certainly for a guy like Evander Kane, I think he felt it was tougher for him to make an impact in the Dallas series because there wasn't that extracurricular stuff. You know, we all know the history between him and Matthew Tkachuk, that the Battle of Alberta series a couple years ago, they were going at it when Tkachuk was still a member of the Flames. You know, that rivalry gets renewed, the Sam Bennett factor as well. Oilers fans know both of those players, you know, all too well. So all of those reasons just makes it for, I think, a one that should be a lot of fun to watch. There's just, you go up and down the lineup. I just feel these are two deep teams. I would say on paper, Florida's a little bit deeper, but as I say, like the Oilers just keep proving that, you know, they've got a lot more than just their two horses up front. So I just hope that both these teams give each other everything they can handle. And it just becomes a treat for us to watch as viewers.
And Kyle, in mentioning some of the points you just brought up there, you mentioned depth. And I think if there were any points of criticism with the Edmonton Oilers over the time that, you know, the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl era, one would be that there wasn't as much of a supporting cast after those guys. Well, now it seems like there is. And the other thing, it seems like over the years, maybe the ability to take care of their own end wasn't there as much. But it seems like under Chris Knobloch, that's changed as well. Just having spent some time around this Oilers team in the playoffs, how much pride does that group take? Because we talk about the Panthers a lot, but in your time around the Edmonton Oilers here, how much pride is that group taking in terms of the defensive game that they're playing every night? And what kind of an impact have you seen maybe that Chris Knobloch has made here in his first season behind the bench, obviously getting this team to a Stanley Cup final?
Right. I mean, this team was... Gosh, I mean, I don't want to use too extreme of a word, but they were very much in shambles by the time he came into the equation in November, right? Like they kind of came out of the gate. There was so much talk about them being a Stanley Cup favorite. When their season ended a year ago, like Connor McDavid sat at the podium and said, you know, next year is cup or bust for us. Like they knew what their own expectations were. And of course, the outside noise doesn't help and you get off to a tough start. And I just think, you know, Knobloch was the perfect, you see the way he does his interviews, how he is often on the bench, like just a very, you know, calming, very stoic presence. And I think that was what they needed at that time and just was able to, you know, as he talked about, just explain things and kind of set up a plan in a way where let's try to get up, you know, five wins every eight games and just give us a chance to get back in here. Allowed everyone to kind of take a breath. And you know, the one thing he said to the team back then when they were struggling was like, we don't need to be great. We don't need to be world beaters every night. We just need to be good. And you know, our skill and natural ability as a group is going to start to take over. So you've seen the way that's kind of carried them through here now in the playoffs, you know, the scars that kind of reveal what you are as a group, the setbacks they had, you know, game one against Vancouver, blowing a 4-1 lead and losing that on the road, that could have derailed things. I mentioned the Skinner factor and losing the net for a few, that didn't kill him. Lose game five late. You know, I think about the blown 2-goal lead against Dallas in game three, down 2-0 early in game four, and they come storming back, and the series, you know, really changed for good after that point. They've just gone through so many different situations as a group that brought them closer together. And I think that bleeds into, as you say, the defensive style where everyone's committed and focused on that side of the puck. For how many years now, you know, on Saturday nights, you know, hockey night in Canada up here, it's, you know, a doubleheader, a game at 7, which is usually the game that I work on, typically featuring the Leafs. And then, you know, afterwards, Craig Simpson and I, Kyle, our analyst, will go to, you know, the local watering hole and watch whatever the late game is on at 10 o'clock. Oftentimes it featured the Oilers, and how many times we'd sit there and watch and he'd be saying, bad stick there, bad decision, bad turnover. And that was what plagued them for so many years. But, you know, throughout, certainly when I've watched them closely here, this last series against Dallas, just more often than not, the right decision was being made for everybody on that group. And I think that's a big reason why, as you say, you know, maybe they weren't loaded for their depth going in as things have gone on here. But now certainly you look at everybody doing their job exceptionally well defensively. They appear to be a much tougher team to beat.
And Kyle, one quick follow-up on that. You mentioned the game four against Dallas when Edmonton was down by a couple of goals early, and it seemed like after that it was all Edmonton the rest of the way. Did you see that as kind of a wake-up call? And oddly enough, I felt like when the Panthers won game four to tie the series with the Rangers, that win was almost worth more than just one win in the Panthers-Rangers series, because it was really all Panthers after that as well. But getting to the way that the Oilers turned the tables on Dallas, down 2-0 early, game four comeback, they win the game. Did you feel like that win for Edmonton was almost worth more than just one victory?
I think the fact that you get through that and man, when it was 2-0, we talked about how great the building was in game six, like it was dead silent in there. Like I think there was a lot of feeling because, you know, they'd blown the lead a night before or two nights before, and you felt, oh man, like is this it now? Are they just going to go quietly here and are Dallas going to take things over for good? But that was a huge thing, like just and a huge moment for Skinner too, because you know he had the tough goal there on the sharp angle that Jason Robertson beat him in game three, and then bang bang, you're down 2-0 early. Really, you couldn't fault him. There was a bunch of heat around Darnell Nurse that morning too, locally, some of the criticism he was receiving, and then like he was just not his fault, but just on the unfortunate end of two plays, he was on the ice for both of those goals, and it was like everything is snowballing in the wrong way for Edmonton. But turning that around, certainly, I think, I would imagine internally it feels more like than just the one win for them. And then game five and six, like their power play comes alive, and that wins you a series. When you couple that with really good goaltending and how good they were when they were down a man, that was the difference, because, you know, it was a record-setting night for them and how few shots that it took them to get a series over the finish line, especially this deep into the playoffs. But the bottom line is, you know, and Mattias Ekholm said, you know, after they lost to Vegas last year that, you know, maybe they weren't necessarily always the better team. There were some games they won that maybe they didn't deserve, but they did enough things right over the course of that series that it all evened out for them. And I think they felt the same way, where did they have their best in the closeout game? No, they did not. But it was just a culmination of their good habits that allowed, you know, I guess the hockey karma to fall their way, and just a terrific performance by their goaltender too.
Kyle, going back to what you said earlier, obviously it's been since 93 that a team from Canada won the Stanley Cup, the Montreal Canadiens. I don't think the Bruins fans or, you know, the Lightning fans or the Ranger fans are going to be rooting for us in this thing, but I do hope the Panthers gain some more followers and some more fans around USA. But up in Canada, will this become a thing where Canada rallies around the Oilers in search of just that cup for Canada? Do you think that's going to happen, or do you think some of the other fan bases might hold out?
Yeah, the diehards, I think you'll never be able to convert them, which I totally understand. And it's funny, you know, every time this situation comes about, there's that conversation of, well, can you put your earlier feelings for a team aside and then just jump on the bandwagon, because it's been so long since the country of Canada has been able to enjoy potentially a moment like this. It's even like Boston Pizza, one of the restaurant chains up here.
Oh, we're familiar.
Popular ones.
Oh,
yes,
yeah.
Right. They had a whole campaign ad at the start of the playoffs. about, you know, let's start coming together with the fans that you normally would cheer against, right? Like it was, and that was, you know, ripped apart on social media. I'm sure you guys can imagine how that was received. So I think it's going to be one of those things where if you're an indifferent hockey fan, you're going to go, yeah, we just want to see a Canadian team win. But if you're a diehard Calgary fan, Toronto fan, you name it, Vancouver fan, of course, given the series they just had, there's no way you would take any sliver of joy in seeing, you know, Connor McDavid hoist the cup. And that's fandom for you, right? There's a reason why you care so much about your team. It's because, you know, part of that is the hatred you have for the others. So I think there will be some growing interest. Like I remember when the Oilers went in 06, Calgary in 04. Vancouver at 11 was a little different. Like, I think they were regarded as kind of one of the more hated teams in the NHL at that point. But certainly some of the other times there's been, you know, a rise in some backing across Canada, but certainly not to the level where you've got, you know, diehards elsewhere that are jumping the bandwagon. I just don't think it'll happen.
All right, Kyle, last one for me. And this is always the simple one at the end, but maybe the hardest one, but just short and sweet, you know, the Oilers will win this series if blank, and the Panthers will win this series if blank.
Yeah, I think the Oilers, they'll win this series if the special teams theme for them to this point continues. And I think the Panthers win this series if, you know, how their depth, if the best version of themselves is able to come out here in this series, right? As I say, a year ago, I think they were out of steam against Vegas. If they can continue to play at the level that they were at, really all year, as you guys both know, I think that could be enough to win this whole thing. I think they're that good.
Kyle Bukauskas of Sportsnet there, kind enough to take some time out for us on the Territory Talk podcast this week, breaking down the upcoming Stanley Cup final, Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers. It all gets going on Saturday. One of the points we were talking about there, I know it's been since 1993 that a Canadian team has won the Stanley Cup. Montreal did it that year. Edmonton's been to a cup final since then. Vancouver has been to a cup final since then. Calgary has been to a cup final. Ottawa's been to a cup final since then, but not since the 93 Canadians has a Canadian-based NHL team won the Stanley Cup. We're talking about it there. I just can't see a world where a lot of Calgary Flames fans are going to be cheering on the Edmonton Oilers in a Stanley Cup final. And that was kind of what Kyle was alluding to there as well. We've got one more segment for you as we continue counting down. Good to get the north of the border perspective there, though. Kyle was on the ice when the Oilers clinched the Western Conference Championship, punched a ticket to take on the Panthers in the upcoming Stanley Cup final. So, again, big thanks to him for his time. Great to get his perspective there. Coming up on the other side of the break, we'll get to some numbers that matter. We'll hear from Paul Maurice, Panthers head coach. A couple of sound bites coming from him as we tee up the upcoming Stanley Cup final. And again, we will get ready to put this one to bed. And if you're just tuning in and you hear us talking Panthers and you're disappointed that you've missed it, well, never fear, because you'll be able to find the entire show online afterward. And of course, on Twitter, I'll tweet out the links at Doug Plagans. That's my handle there on the platform formerly known as Twitter, but you'll be able to get them on that free Odyssey app. You'll be able to find it on WQAM.com, the links to the show in case you missed the official preview for the Stanley Cup final. So we're going to step aside. We'll come back one more segment to go, the exclusive Stanley Cup final preview right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
This is the Stanley Cup Final Preview Show, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Panthers on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's get back to the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Just a few minutes left with you here as we continue along on our Stanley Cup Final Preview Show here on 560 WQAM. Some sound from Paul Maurice coming up here in just a moment. We've had a chance to hear a lot from him over the course of the week as we've had some downtime
between the end of the Eastern Conference Final, the start of the Stanley Cup Final, tomorrow media day ahead of the Stanley Cup Final, and then game one on Saturday, and then it's off and running from there. So things get going fast and furious really tomorrow with media day, really with right now with the exclusive preview show right here on 560 WQAM. These two teams, though, they feel like they've been on a bit of a collision course. And when you look at the numbers, it kind of suggests that, because both have taken what they were doing well during the season and just continued it into the playoffs. The Panthers are averaging 3.24 goals per game in the playoffs. Edmonton, 3.5 goals per game. Both above the teams by a slim margin, but both higher numbers than what they produced during the regular season. They're allowing 2.29 in the case of the Panthers. The Oilers allowing 2.61. Panthers doing a little bit better in terms of the goals allowed. Both teams on the plus side of 5-on-5. Both teams good power plays. Edmonton's power play right now going along about 11% higher than it was during the regular season. It was good during the regular season. It's off the charts during the playoffs. 37.3% power play for Edmonton. The matchup between Edmonton's power play and the Panthers penalty kill, depending on how much we see that matchup, that's going to be certainly something to watch during the series. Edmonton's penalty kill, 93.9%, doing pretty well in addition to the power play. Panthers 23.3% on the power play, clicking along just like they were during the regular season at a nice rate. Both teams playing well defensively, and especially the Panthers get a pretty good amount of credit for the defensive structure and style they play. That's been a hallmark trait of this team. Edmonton maybe doesn't get, and Kyle Bukauskas mentioned this last segment, and you know, Tim Reynolds mentioned it back in hour number one. Paul Maurice has mentioned it this week. Maybe the Oilers don't get the credit defensively that they deserve. They've done a pretty good job in this playoff run keeping the opposition in check. Maybe not to the extent the Panthers have played that tough defensive style, but Edmonton's certainly holding its own in that department. A couple of quick sound bites with Paul Maurice before we put this show to bed here. Paul Maurice first, just plain and simple, talking about the matchup against the Edmonton Oilers.
The interesting thing is they're a way better defensive team than, like, their defensive analytics are almost as good as ours. We're a way better offensive team than people know as well. So it's both sides of the puck. You have to defend against the whole group, active back end, clearly superstars up front. And then we got some really good players too. So it's both sides of the puck equally weighted. We play an aggressive defensive game when we don't have the puck, and I think we attack pretty smartly when we do. I feel the same way about their game. Their defensive game is far stronger, far more structured than I think I hear on when I'm watching the games or I read about.
So you heard it right there from Paul Maurice. The Oilers defend better than I think a lot of people give them credit for. We saw a prime example of it in their series clinching game 6 win over the Dallas Stars. They gave up a lot of shots in terms of quantity, but not a lot of high danger chances. They got that 2-0 lead and really just insulated their goaltender, Stuart Skinner, and did a pretty good job of it. Paul Maurice said right there, one of the great things to watch during the series, both teams do so many things well. And it just feels like as this has gone along, these two teams feel like they were meant to meet at this point in time, despite the geographical distance between the two. And that takes us into our next thought from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, who said a while back during the season, you know, when he was asked about getting home ice advantage in the playoffs, maybe it would come in handy the most if you weren't the team that had to fly across the continent first. But here's what Paul Maurice had to say about the geographical distance between the teams.
The interesting thing is, like, both teams have almost identical travel over the year, right? So they got a team, they got Calgary, we got Tampa. It's another two teams in one province, two teams in one state, and then everything else is a long flight. So they're used to it. It's part of how they operate. It's the same with us getting on a plane for 5 hours. You probably wouldn't sign up for it, but we all know how to deal with it. So I don't know that there's an advantage. Both teams got kind of almost the identical time off, so that makes it, which is good. It's fair. It's right.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there, and two teams that, knock on wood, both teams at this point in a playoff run, as fresh and really as healthy as you could want to be. this far along. So again, going to be a fun series, going to be a treat to see these two teams hit the ice beginning on Saturday at 8 o'clock. That does it for us here. Big thanks to everybody who took time out for us. Tim Reynolds, of course, back in the first hour, Nico Mikola, Evan Rodriguez. Big thanks, Kyle Bukauskas, again, for taking some time out for the Territory Talk podcast. If you like what you hear on the Territory Talk podcast, check it out, floridapanthers.com/territorytalk, or wherever you get your podcast. We dropped a new episode today previewing the Stanley Cup Final with ESPN's Emily Kaplan. So you can find that. Again, just went online today. So you can find that wherever you get your podcast. Big thanks to Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And a big thanks to all of you for tuning in. Folks, this has been our exclusive preview of the Stanley Cup Final right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.
This is the Stanley Cup Final Preview Show, fueled by Celsius Essential Energy Drinks on the home of the Panthers on AM 560 Sports, WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Let's get back to the voice of the Panthers, Doug Plagans.
Just a few minutes left with you here as we continue along on our Stanley Cup Final Preview Show here on 560 WQAM. Some sound from Paul Maurice coming up here in just a moment. We've had a chance to hear a lot from him over the course of the week as we've had some downtime between the end of the Eastern Conference Final, the start of the Stanley Cup Final, tomorrow media day ahead of the Stanley Cup Final, and then game one on Saturday, and then it's off and running from there. So things get going fast and furious really tomorrow with media day, really with right now with the exclusive preview show right here on 560 WQAM. These two teams, though, they feel like they've been on a bit of a collision course. And when you look at the numbers, it kind of suggests that, because both have taken what they were doing well during the season and just continued it into the playoffs. The Panthers are averaging 3.24 goals per game in the playoffs. Edmonton, 3.5 goals per game. Both above the teams by a slim margin, but both higher numbers than what they produced during the regular season. They're allowing 2.29 in the case of the Panthers. The Oilers allowing 2.61. Panthers doing a little bit better in terms of the goals allowed. Both teams on the plus side of 5-on-5. Both teams good power plays. Edmonton's power play right now going along about 11% higher than it was during the regular season. It was good during the regular season. It's off the charts during the playoffs. 37.3% power play for Edmonton. The matchup between Edmonton's power play and the Panthers penalty kill, depending on how much we see that matchup, that's going to be certainly something to watch during the series. Edmonton's penalty kill, 93.9%, doing pretty well in addition to the power play. Panthers 23.3% on the power play, clicking along just like they were during the regular season at a nice rate. Both teams playing well defensively, and especially the Panthers get a pretty good amount of credit for the defensive structure and style they play. That's been a hallmark trait of this team. Edmonton maybe doesn't get, and Kyle Bukauskas mentioned this last segment, and you know, Tim Reynolds mentioned it back in hour number one. Paul Maurice has mentioned it this week. Maybe the Oilers don't get the credit defensively that they deserve. They've done a pretty good job in this playoff run keeping the opposition in check. Maybe not to the extent the Panthers have played that tough defensive style, but Edmonton's certainly holding its own in that department. A couple of quick sound bites with Paul Maurice before we put this show to bed here. Paul Maurice first, just plain and simple, talking about the matchup against the Edmonton Oilers.
The interesting thing is they're a way better defensive team than, like, their defensive analytics are almost as good as ours. We're a way better offensive team than people know as well. So it's both sides of the puck. You have to defend against the whole group, active back end, clearly superstars up front. And then we got some really good players too. So it's both sides of the puck equally weighted. We play an aggressive defensive game when we don't have the puck. And I think we attack pretty smartly when we do. I feel the same way about their game. Their defensive game is far stronger, far more structured than I think I hear on when I'm watching the games or I read about.
So you heard it right there from Paul Maurice. The Oilers defend better than I think a lot of people give them credit for. We saw a prime example of it in their series clinching game 6 win over the Dallas Stars. They gave up a lot of shots in terms of quantity, but not a lot of high danger chances. They got that 2-0 lead and really just insulated their goaltender, Stuart Skinner, and did a pretty good job of it. Paul Maurice said right there, one of the great things to watch during the series, both teams do so many things well. And it just feels like as this has gone along, these two teams feel like they were meant to meet at this point in time, despite the geographical distance between the two. And that takes us into our next thought from Panthers head coach Paul Maurice, who said a while back during the season, you know, when he was asked about getting home ice advantage in the playoffs, maybe it would come in handy the most if you weren't the team that had to fly across the continent first. But here's what Paul Maurice had to say about the geographical distance between the teams.
The interesting thing is, like, both teams have almost identical travel over the year, right? So they got a team, they got Calgary, we got Tampa. It's another two teams in one province, two teams in one state, and then everything else is a long flight. So they're used to it. It's part of how they operate. It's the same with us getting on a plane for 5 hours. You probably wouldn't sign up for it, but we all know how to deal with it. So I don't know if there's an advantage. Both teams got kind of almost the identical time off. So that makes it, which is good. It's fair. It's right.
Panthers head coach Paul Maurice right there, and two teams that, knock on wood, both teams at this point in a playoff run, as fresh and really as healthy as you could want to be this far along. So again, going to be a fun series, going to be a treat to see these two teams hit the ice beginning on Saturday at 8 o'clock. That does it for us here. Big thanks to everybody who took time out for us. Tim Reynolds, of course, back in the first hour, Nico Mikola, Evan Rodriguez. Big thanks, Kyle Bukauskas, again, for taking some time out for the Territory Talk podcast. If you like what you hear on the Territory Talk podcast, check it out, floridapanthers.com/Territory Talk, or wherever you get your podcast. We dropped a new episode today previewing the Stanley Cup Final with ESPN's Emily Kaplan. So you can find that. Again, just went online today. So you can find that wherever you get your podcast. Big thanks to Danny Garcia on the other side of the glass. And a big thanks to all of you for tuning in. Folks, this has been our exclusive preview of the Stanley Cup Final right here on AM 560 Sports WQAM.